door.
So far, nobody's there. Nobody showed up for work?
It's holiday week, right?
Didn't think they had to be there, huh?
It's the best day to work. It's quiet in the office.
What a luxury.
It's really quiet for you, huh? It's a nice difference.
Staff does not show up. It's like we have to have somebody show up. All right, it's 11:02. We're gonna go ahead and call the quarterly meeting of Monday, November 19th for the Treasury Oversight Committee to order. The first item on our agenda is public comment. Anybody from the public who wish to comment may comment at this time. Seeing no comment, we'll move on to minutes. So the minutes from our August 20th meeting were attached that Janelle has prepared for us, and I do have one change.
Okay.
On page 2, under number 5, presentation on investment policy framework, this information was gathered from a California State Association of Counties, CSAC, not auditor controllers.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
Okay.
Association of Counties instead of auditor controller.
Okay.
And just reminding Gerald that we agreed to send letters to the district, although that has nothing to do with the minutes. It says we agreed to send letters.
Yes.
And I think we told the board we would too.
Yes.
Anybody else have any other changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes of August 20th, 2018.
I move to accept the minutes.
Have a second?
Second.
I have a first and a second. And all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. All right. Moving on to agenda item number 4, quarterly investment report. This is the quarterly investment report for the third quarter or the first quarter of 18-19, depending on how you look at it, and so I'll turn it over to Gerald.
Okay, so we'll review the investment report. So this is the first time that we are going to report that the Mono County investment policy was out of compliance on the last day of the quarter. What happened was our weighted average maturity is limited at 730 days, and we were at 730 days on Thursday the 27th. We went to 734 on the 28th of September, and then we went right back into compliance on the following Monday. Mm-hmm. What happened was, when I do cash analysis, there's certain revenues that come in certain times of year, and normally we have about $2 million come in towards the end of September for property tax. Our printers this year, we got the information or the files to the printers on time. They were about 2 weeks behind printing bills this year, so the revenue did not start coming in. So we went 4 days out for one business day over a weekend, and then we're right back in.
And we viewed that as a compliance violation because the current policy says
should never are too contradictory. So we have a possible correction that we're going to go over today in that, so that if we do go over by a minimal amount like this, we don't have to report that we're out of compliance, just that we're looking at getting back under. We would still note it, but we wouldn't actually technically be out of compliance.
Right, and it was because it said never. Should never.
Yeah.
and we had some discussion on how to interpret that.
Yeah.
And the 730 days is 2 years.
Yes, 2 years.
Based on?
I think there's some history
to
that.
It was just set because they, so about 10% of the counties in California set a weighted average maturity limit. And the reason they do it is they want to make sure there's liquidity. Mm-hmm. Well, we had no problems with liquidity. Over that time frame, we still had $16 million in liquid assets, short-term assets. real short term, under 3 months. 7:30.
Yeah, the question is, okay, so there's two questions that I take from your inquiry here. One, should the investment policy set a limit on the WAM, weighted average maturity? And if it is appropriate, which it is best practice to include limits in your policy, the question is 2 years appropriate?
Appropriate, yes.
And we have been investing as close as we can get.
Yes.
To that 2 year mark. I mean, we walk a fine line between 700.
Well,
I don't
actually,
know what your range is.
Actually, it
sometimes
on,
it drops.
So it depends on the time of year. September is our lowest, we have the least amount of cash available to us in September. It's because we have a dry period where there's no taxes coming in. So when I'm investing, like right now, we're sitting at the low 600s. By March, we'll be down into the 500s. And then by September, we're back up to the 700s. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
So if we're going to go over, it's going to be September.
It's going to be September, always, yes.
Well, I guess the key is you said it's primarily, I mean, again, remember, indicators are useful, but they're supposed to be linked to what the outcome is you're searching.
Right.
If the issue is liquidity, is that the best indicator for measuring liquidity? And you guys need to sort that out.
Yeah,
but and we don't need to take the time to talk about it now. I'm just saying it sounds like it's not an indicator. We had sufficient liquidity.
Yes.
And if that's the primary reason we have it in the policy, it becomes a constraint that isn't affecting liquidity, then why do we have it?
Right.
That's all I'm saying. It's the classic, you know, determining what a performance measure is in terms of what the outcome is you're really seeking.
Right.
But you might just look at that at some point. If there's a better measure for liquidity, do we really need to have it just because we've always had it?
It generally has been used as a measure of liquidity. The weighted average maturity. What we're going to propose is that it not be a compliance requirement.
Yeah.
You know, it not be a line drawn in the sand that thou shalt never go over.
Yeah.
That it should be a guideline to manage within. It's the board's mechanism as a guideline for management to follow.
Okay, yeah, because that's my concern.
It should be written that way.
Exactly, it should be something that helps us manage to what we want to do, not something that over time becomes a constraint that we have to manage to, but doesn't necessarily affect what we're really concerned about.
Yeah, and we have all this activity going on over here just to prevent us from going over, and it's not providing any outcome.
Yeah. So, all right, great.
Absolutely.
Good explanation.
And it was very difficult writing this, by the way.
I'm sure.
So the weighted average maturity on September 30th was 7:34.
Four days.
Yeah, 4 days over a weekend. It is anticipated that the county will be able to meet its liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. On the last day of this quarter, on a cost basis, the portfolio totaled $84,360,644. And the market value was $82,751,686, or 98.093% of cost. The earned interest rate for the quarter ending 9/30 was 1.885%. The next, I believe, five pages are all of our investments. Does anybody have any questions about any of the investments?
The decrease in the overall is a reflection of payments as well as the market. The decrease from June to September, the 99 down to 87 million.
A lack of incoming revenue.
Yeah,
as opposed to the market volatility.
Right, exactly.
Yes. And an increase in expenditures. So July, end of July is when we make our largest debt service payments to the bonds. So that, I mean, we have about $7 million.
So that's an annual cycle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, our current bonds that we're working on right now is S&P had recommended we move our payment dates to enhance our credit rating to be within our the budget cycle. So we, by law, have until October 1st to adopt, or October 2nd to adopt our budget, and so
they wanted the due date on those to be after that period. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with cash flow, but it's interesting to move some of those things, to think about moving some of those things operationally outside of that period that we're cash dry.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be easier.
You don't mind waiting 3 months to get paid, right?
The next page is just the distribution by asset category. You can see the effect.
Yeah, $10 million, almost 10.
Yeah.
And where's our cash? Cash is just down a million.
Yeah, and then
but you've
pools
you
are down about
pull it into
seven.
Pools, right?
Yeah. And then we also have part of liquidity is also bonds that are going to be maturing. They're on the short end.
Yeah, it might be helpful to sort these asset categories by liquidity in the future.
Okay.
Unless
don't know if I can do that.
Okay.
I'll try.
Yeah, if it's flexible. Just another way of looking at it.
Yeah. The next page is the Treasury cash balances as of the last day of the most recent 14 months. Yeah, at the very bottom of this.
So just on this one, what I like about this is that our
September to
18
September.
Is higher than our September 17. So it's showing some growth.
Yeah, over 5 million.
Yeah.
So the pool is still growing.
And then this is the ladder that, you know, if everything maturities were stacked evenly over the 5 years, would be a straight line.
Yes, it would.
Right.
But
it's not.
It's
some
not.
Of that's because of movement in the market and some changes in
yes, and
strategy.
Some of it's due to the fact when we need cash.
Right.
So normally second and third quarters, we'll have more investments in them, so they're maturing when we're cash poor, right? So on the next report, you'll notice that between the 1 and the 5 year will be going way out, and that's due to the new MUSD bond. So we have to invest it in the time frame that they're going to spend it.
And it has different requirements for investment too.
It does not. We're pretty.
Okay.
They're strict on what we're allowed to invest in to begin with.
Okay, got it.
There weren't any other major restrictions that I saw.
Okay, good.
Is there a way to mute this? Obviously we don't have.
I think she has to mute it on her.
We can just turn it down.
That's what I was looking for. Okay. Good.
The next page is the quarterly yield comparison. You see where the county's at 189. LAIF is sitting at about 216 for the quarter, and then the 2-year treasury is at 267. We're anticipating the 2-year treasury has been really moving upward. The 2-year is up around 280 something, even though it's come down, it was up around 290 during this quarter.
And what's the 5-year at?
5-year right now, it's at about 288, 287 this morning.
It's
so
not much of a spread.
The spread between the 2-year and the 5-year has shrunk down to between 7 and 8 basis points.
And why has the LAIF exceeded our county?
Because they have their weighted average maturity is approximately 180 days. And so they can turn over their investments quicker. We have everything we've invested in it over the past 5 years is still sitting on our books. So all those until they roll off, we can't invest them at a higher interest rate.
Because we were above them historically.
Yeah, because
yes,
we had
yeah.
dropping, falling interest rates on the market.
Yeah.
So to the extent that interest rates are going down because we have
a
longer
sure.
investment horizon,
yeah.
then we're always going to be below them. But when interest rates are climbing, they're going to be above us.
Yeah. This is
because they have a shorter term, and
yeah.
they've also got an artificial state loan in there. That's
and doesn't it depend on how they do their reporting too? Because like every county, I thought that was explained once too. Because when we look at all the county rates
uh-huh.
and ours, and then LAIF, I remember there was discussion once about what is actually reported, like the timing of everything,
mm-hmm.
and kind of how it can fluctuate. Like one county might look stronger, but maybe in reality they're not as strong.
Yes, because there's a lot of counties who don't, they don't list their expenditures for investments.
Yeah.
And a lot of them outsource, and I mean, their expenditures could be, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Okay, that's I think what I was
trying to measure. For measuring the full rate.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But this is definitely the only type of economy or market that this would happen in, is a flat yield curve. That's when you'll see LAIF and CAMP and 2-year outperform the county pool.
Okay.
Yeah, so by that it means that you can invest in a 5-year bond and get 2.8, and you can invest in a 2-year treasury and get 2.67. So why wouldn't you invest in something that's shorter term? Mm-hmm. And we don't have a policy. So if we have money locked up in 5-year investments, for us to sell those investments, we would have to recognize a loss and turn it over into something that would earn greater. And then we violate the priorities that we have in our investment policy, is that our first priority is to protect principal. It's government money. We want to make sure that you get your principal back. Second is to make sure we have liquidity to meet our bills. And only third is a rate of return. If rate of return was our primary focus, then yeah, maybe we would look at buying and selling as opposed to holding to maturity. So this is a case where the benchmark maybe is not appropriate for measuring the performance of what Mono County is doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks bad. It looks like we're not doing our job, but it's a function of the market. And maybe the benchmark that's been selected, that's not necessarily comparable to what Mono County is doing.
But when you look at the trends, you guys have done a really good job.
Absolutely.
Because you brought them way up, so thank you.
And there's no county right now who's beating the 2-year treasury. There's not.
Yeah, I think
it's right. Even the ones that are swapping out, because they're still taking a loss. So during that quarter that they take that loss, they're switching it out. They're exchanging out the investments in order to possibly ride out the next recession. You know, so if you had a 3-year at 1.5% that you got, you sell it and reinvest anywhere from 2-something to 3-something, you have that for next 3 years, right? Whereas if you didn't, and you have a recession, you couldn't get back into the market at that rate, you'd be in a lower rate.
You'd want to be locked in at that higher rate as interest rates start to fall, right?
Yes. So that's why we don't want to invest in 5-year, because we want those good interest rates right now, even though they're just a hair above the 2-year, but we keep those for 5 years so that this next recession that will eventually hit, we'll have those better interest rates in the pool. So.
And you've been intermixing some shorter term investments that
maybe
a year ago we weren't doing.
Yes. We used to put a lot more in LAIF. I've been adding some treasuries on the short term within that year period that we're getting, 20, 30, 40 basis points over LAIF to get into that short term, because it's fairly treasuries are liquid, it's short term, so if we needed to sell them, we could sell them immediately. Yeah. Wouldn't be a problem.
Wouldn't take a loss.
And then this, the last page is the investment pool participants. Nothing has changed on that. Yeah. Everything there stayed the same. Any questions on the report?
This doesn't require a motion, right? We just review it.
Yeah, we're just reviewing it.
Okay. All right, next item on the agenda is the investment policy. We've probably had made a record this year of changing the investment policy the number of times that we just recently changed it for the MUSD bonds. And this is our normal time to review the investment policy and make changes. So I'll let Gerald talk about the changes that we're recommending, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So most of the changes were housekeeping. So we'll go through them and page by page. Let's see. The first one is on page 2, section 3, under delegation of authority. The addition was is in blue, and that was strictly, so this section here was right out of the code, but then stopped part of the way through the code. So we added the rest of the code, basically.
And we have switched. It used to be that our delegation authority, we would have to adopt an ordinance every year to delegate authority from the Board of Supervisors to myself, to the Department of Finance, to do the investing. This last year, we changed the ordinance so that it's done by resolution, and we don't have to go through as much hoops to jump through to get that delegation done. It's routine now.
Yeah.
So, but we do, the board will do it by resolution every year. It is required by code, and all this says is basically restating what's in code. So we just hope the code doesn't change, because then we'll have to change
this again. Okay, so page four, five, and six, you can see we just added, we had government codes on some of the sections, so we just added the government codes on the other sections, so make it uniformed. Page seven's where we had the restriction with the weighted average maturity. So what we're looking at doing is making it more of a recommendation, a guideline. So we added, instead of should never. Yeah, should never. We added, it is recommended that the weighted average maturity of the portfolio not exceed 24 months. And we still have our verbiage in there for liquidity statement saying that we don't have to sell anything, especially at a loss, only for liquidity purposes.
Yeah,
the
only factor in there in that whole calculation that's really an unknown is cash. Yeah. You know, we include cash because we were measuring liquidity, so it's appropriate to include cash. But cash is the one piece that we don't know what it's going to be. We can anticipate, but we can't control when the money's going to come in.
Appendix A had a couple housekeeping changes. If you look really hard, you can see the color blue on a couple of the letters. We've never gone through this section other than really quickly reviewing it. So we actually went and compared every single code, and we found that a couple had the wrong subsections. So we fixed that. And then local agency investment fund and CAMP had the wrong sections completely, so we fixed those.
Can you talk about the last page just briefly? There's no changes. Just mention.
Temporary constraints?
Yeah.
Benefit,
Jennifer.
So about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. we put some temporary constraints. Restricting from certain banks, basically, for their participation in the 2008. There was fraud going on and stuff like that. And these are the main ones who really got caught.
Mostly a social aspect
yes.
of our investing.
Okay.
You know, that some of these banks you might argue we would never invest in anyways because they can't demonstrate to us that they have the financial capability that we expect from our quality of investments, but there was a drive at the time to socially penalize some banks and some companies that had bad behavior. We haven't gone to the length that the state has, and for instance, the state has dumped all their Wells Fargo at a substantial loss to make a social statement about what Wells Fargo did from their retail operations. The same thing with, you know, like investing in, I think PERS investing in a pipeline that they believe is not environmentally conscious, and so they're changing their investing approach based on socially conscious initiatives. Mm-hmm. Well, we've done that to some extent, but there had to have been evidence and adjudication that these banks had wrongdoing before we put them on the list.
Yeah.
So.
And then last year we added the Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the Wells Fargo, there's no investments with them until June 30th, 2019. But at that point, we'll revisit and see if they change their ways, right? I mean, are they still doing the same things that they've done in the past, you know, cheating their retail customers, and, you know. So we'll review it at that point, and then we will review the other banks in June 30th of 2020.
Now, what you may see is that, wait, we outlawed Wells Fargo, but we have a Wells Fargo investment. Yeah, I don't know if we still
CD,
or not.
Yeah.
CD. And that's because we had it before we adopted this change, and we do not sell investments for the sake of them being on this list to eliminate them, because we would generate a loss to set up this place.
Gotcha.
Our policy is based on some of these things that are pretty egregious. In other words, the Bank of America, you know, has basically pulled out of the Eastern Sierra.
Yeah. They
we just dropped them. I had a major issue with them.
I was on the
phone for 2 hours, and I finally, I don't raise my voice, and I was like, I am done! And I canceled 14 credit cards right then and there. And so we haven't had credit cards for 6 weeks, and I'm proud of it. The staff is doing a great job without them. We have new ones coming from a new entity.
Yeah. Sort of like, you know, patience. Sure. Talk about patience with them. I've lost my patience with them. And I know, I guess I'm saying, I don't know what the criteria has been. Those decisions were made before I was on the board.
Well, in these particular ones, they were investigated.
Yeah. And pleaded guilty.
And pleaded guilty.
Yeah, well, this is more corporate neighborliness.
Well, they told us, exactly. Yeah. They told us, oh, well, you need to go into the branch. I said, well, I need my credit card to go into the branch because I have to drive 3 hours. Are you going to
Well, they pulled out a Bishop now, too.
I could have used
my own, but I was just like, now they've left Bishop. Yeah. Right. So they don't exist. It's what, Carson City? Minden, it's either Minden or what, Victorville or Lancaster or something like that.
Interesting, though, that Bank of America is the one bank in Gardnerville that is providing a cannabis, potential future cannabis operator
from a cash
access
standpoint.
To banking.
Interesting.
But B of A wouldn't be
maybe that's an indication.
At least they haven't done anything wrong that we know of yet.
Yeah,
I don't trust them.
Their credit rating, we wouldn't invest in a corporate bond with them, and we
that was going to be my question.
We wouldn't
I didn't
do a
see
CD. They're not competitive with their CDs, so it's not something we would even look at.
It's more
right
symbolic.
Now. Yeah.
It's more symbolic. All right, then forget it.
So if it makes you feel better, I got them too.
Good.
Yeah. It's like I've told everyone.
It's sort of like, sort of like chasing someone down the street that isn't interested in fighting with you. Well, we don't want to fight with you either.
Yeah.
How many basis points do you want to sacrifice?
All right. I just am irritated when I drive by these buildings.
Me too. Makes two of us.
All right, excuse me. Go
well,
ahead.
Hopefully we don't lose any more. That would be the issue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, B of A leaving, you know, I don't know how many but people bank there, because I banked with B of A when I first came to the county, and within a month I dumped B of A. It was...
The tough thing is they got you. I banked with B of A, but changing every one of those online accounts is a pain.
That's exactly why.
And I think, well, I'll do a couple each month. Well, I haven't done any. And so they've got you. They've got you with the... It isn't a matter of not writing checks. It's a matter of all those different online things. So anyway.
So you have to... You bite the bullet and
just do
close
it,
open up a new one, and it forces you to sit there on a weekend and fix everything.
Yeah, my kids say, Dad, we all bank with Ally Bank. And they use Venmo. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I still need somewhere, though, to go and drop cash. Like, you can't mail cash.
Yeah.
That's true. True.
So that's where I think
and
our
you
hands
can't,
are tied
I know with I'm with the U.S. Bank, and if you have a check that's pretty large, you can't take
that's
a
right.
picture.
I haven't had that problem yet. No.
Eastern Sierra is good. Yeah. Eastern Sierra,
they're
really
wonderful.
In there. They
that's
really
I
in
switched
there.
To them.
We from you know the county standpoint, we are encouraging vendors as much as possible to go ACH. And I was on a panel discussion panel for the state at a conference a couple weeks ago, and some of our bigger counties have actually a vendor portal where they go in and fill out all the forms so that we're doing ACH. No postage, no envelopes, you know, no printing.
Can we do that?
Checks, yeah.
That's what we used to do at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. We've always been told we can't, so I would
oh, I don't know about you guys. We might have to.
So you your banking is actually with
it's
MCOE,
you.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So MCOE doesn't use our software.
Got
so
it.
I don't know who they use, if they can, if you can do ACH or not.
I think Financial 2000 was talking about doing something with their new functionality, but I'll look into that and see.
Because certain things are going, like they're saying, well, pretty soon we're mandating that to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, then we won't be with you because we can't do it.
Yeah. I know we have an AC, we send out at least one ACH every day and normally multiples.
Okay. And from our banking perspective, we get charged for checks.
It's less charge for ACH.
Charge for ACH, so, and we
it
get
saves
charged
a little bit of money too.
Much more for wires. So.
Oh, yeah. We try to stay away from wires. Yeah.
Perfect.
Sometimes you can't avoid them.
I know.
Any other questions on the investment policy, on the changes that are being recommended? If not, I think we vote on this one, right?
Yes.
I'll entertain a motion to
move to approve.
Second on that?
I second.
Okay. First and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. All right, we're down to our favorite section of the meeting, and that's questions and recommendations. And I think we have something we want to talk about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to let Gerald do the talking.
So we own $500,000 of GE bonds. GE is having problems right now. They were downrated to BBB+ by S&P. Still investment grade, hasn't gone any lower than that. Our policy does not require us to sell them immediately when they're downrated below the A. We've been watching on S&P gave them a outlook of stable, which is to me seems good. Because they were at negative for a while. They went to BBB+ and now they're at a stable. We've been monitoring their financials. We don't see, trying to word this right, we don't see that anything happening major in bankruptcy, that type of stuff, anytime in the near future. Their assets
so
are looking good.
Yeah, they still have positive equity on their balance sheet. Their income statement is showing that they went from, if you exclude this extraordinary one-time goodwill impairment, went from $1.3 million positive to a loss of $835,000. That's in millions. They still have $26.9 billion of cash. They do have some substantial debts, but they're still making their payments, and obviously our bond has priority over common stock. And I think more importantly, management is taking steps to improve the outlook of GE. They have they're spending off those subsidiaries that are bringing them down and causing some of the distress. They substantially cut their common stock dividend, which was very
12,
good to see.
It was 12 cents per share. And they took it all the way down to 1 cent per share.
One per quarter. So that was, if we hadn't seen that, we probably would be talking about whether we really need to sell this bond today.
Yeah, they've been paying dividends when they're not making any money. And that's a problem, that's mismanagement. So the new CEO has basically stopped that. He didn't take it down to zero, but at a penny, it's not a huge effect on their bottom line. So we'll keep monitoring on this. Right now, if we were to sell them right at this point, we have at least a $40,000 loss. So we need to just keep.
We have 2 years left.
Yeah.
So you know, just
a little less. It's
2 years
to
ride it out.
Maturity, 2020.
So it doesn't. It doesn't look like in the next 12 months imminent that they're like a Lehman Brothers going to be able to fail to meet their semi-annual interest and principal payments. So if that's the case, then you know we just keep watching them, try to have as much foresight as we can to see into the future to know whether we should sell them before the market disappears.
Yeah, this is gives me an ulcer.
Gerald up at night.
They are selling, they've sold, some of the stuff they did, have done is they've sold about $3 billion in their Baker Hughes stocks. Still keeps them above 50% for Baker Hughes, so they still own majority share. They spun off a couple like LED companies. They sold that off. They sold part of their distressed financing, capital financing, for medical healthcare machinery. So they are taking steps to try to get back to their root company where they were making money before they started expanding and adding all these other subsidiaries on.
And so to the extent that we believe that GE is going to make their payments for the next 12 months, I mean, this bond is at 4.375%.
Yes, it is.
So not only would we take a loss on the bond, we could not replace it.
No, not
necessarily at 4.375%. So. And it matures September 2020.
Now, if it does, I don't know if you agree, but if it does go, if they do get downrated again, I think at that point we should definitely
have
sell.
Have a serious conversation about it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We don't want them, if they start going into, I don't want to use that term, high yield, let's use high yield. bonds, then I think we should not, as a county, we shouldn't own them at that point. And then we take the loss and
all right,
go on.
Can't win every time.
Yeah, that's GE's been a staple for every county in
rich.
California
forever. Hard to believe that they could go the route of, you know, Washington Mutual, Lehman Brothers, and all those.
Sounds like they're trying.
They're writing on the wall with those to some extent. Some would argue not.
So. Yeah. So, any questions on GE? Besides, I look at it every morning.
Okay. Now I'm going to start watching it.
I know.
And, you know, the stock's gone down.
Substantially.
You get a panic going on is what happens.
Yeah.
And people start selling everything, bonds, stocks, you know.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the
finances
of the company. It's more
people just get nervous and it's emotional. And it's like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to take a risk.
So we should buy in right now for the
I don't know if they're at their lowest point yet.
Yeah, that'd be the question. If they're going to come back, now's the time.
I don't trade my own.
Only if you're going to hold it for the long term, right?
Yeah.
There's not going to be any reinvestment.
I've got a long ways to go.
All right, is there anything, anybody else have any questions or recommendations with regard to Treasury oversight?
We haven't
begun our audit yet, so we have new auditors. And
oh, nice.
I should get moving on that soon.
We will have in 2021 the next big round of bonds, so I'll come to you sooner rather than later. And hopefully, too, we'll have a better idea of cash flow because we will have one under our belt by then.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, because we will need another exception made, because that one's going to be large.
Yeah, and we're already talking with the bank and going to give them notice. That our banking services, the caps are checking account at $10 million.
Yeah.
And,
it has
we need
county-wide, so everyone.
For everybody, and we need certain layer to cover ongoing daily transactions and money coming in. So when your bonds came in, that put us over, which meant that it, without some special arrangement with the bank, generally, it was unsecured, right?
It wasn't secured. No, it was secured.
It was.
They said they would cover it.
120%, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's one of the predicatives we put them in is they have to secure it. I think it's 110%.
110, yeah.
And so they're, you know, for
You'd
them,
think they love getting money.
But that means that they have to set aside assets that they don't want to set aside.
Yeah.
And so they impose these restrictions on us that we might not have if we were using a national bank as opposed to a
mom and pop.
So.
Yeah.
But they're great to bank with. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll just keep them apprised when that is going to come down.
Yeah, the more that you guys can develop a disbursement schedule that helps.
We'll have contracts. I mean, we already have, since we've done, just on Thursday, we approved two contracts.
Okay,
so now I have cash flow, and their rates are in, so I can do that.
Right.
And then,
as you find out, can you let me know what you think your
Not much has changed since I did my last one,
because
I reached out to them a little bit. Mm-hmm. But as soon as we get, I'll just keep emailing everything.
And your bond rate is so low.
I know.
You're going to have.
It's great for the public.
I mean, you're going to have the arbitrage.
Yeah.
The question is whether over the 5-year period you'll actually have to pay a rebate.
to the IRS. So you do arbitrage. You have if you find out that you're earning a rate that's above what the IRS will allow you to keep your tax exempt status.
Yeah.
You have 5 years for it to turn around.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm oversimplifying it. I've never done the calculation, but you have 5 years before you have to pay that rebate. So it
and
could,
I have an estimate of what our liability could be, and so I kind of have a mental to set it aside. Mm-hmm. I mean, the good thing is we're going to get our next round to $21,000 before the 5 years.
Yeah.
So I'll easily have the money. And then where I really have to watch it is at the end of that 5 years. And then the end of the next largest lump sum is Series C.
Yeah, you don't have to pay it out of your proceeds. You pay it out of your interest earnings.
Yes.
It's important
yes.
that you not spend your interest proceeds until maybe towards the end. Or
totally.
Use those interest proceeds to establish a sinking fund. You probably have some prepayment limitations. So you can't just immediately pay down the bonds, but you could set it aside in the sinking fund. And when that prepayment period is up, and then you can pay that down, it just helps the taxpayers.
Luckily, we had a really good attorney that helped us with our mm-hmm. bonds, mm-hmm. and Winnie has been amazing. So we're done paying him, but I still get free rights to call him for everything, and they've been awesome.
That's nice.
So I'm going to go to their tax and do a little spiel with them at the next one in a year.
That's good.
Because it's understanding the arbitrage, and I get excited over it, so she's like, you're...
Yeah, I understand you can do that calculation yourself. I'm not sure I want to.
No. We'll have them... I mean, as we get closer.
Too much
and I'll keep you informed on when we start getting close to that.
Okay.
So I anticipate probably towards September of next year, September, October, November, when the interest rates will be that high.
Okay.
As your arbitrage yields.
Yeah. So. Right now you're very liquid in where your investments are. They're kind of layered.
Yeah. And then what's good about is when we do go over it, it's only effects on what you have left in there, right? So if you spent half of it already,
yes.
Your arbitrage is only on half of it,
right?
Rather than all of
totally.
It. So.
And the nice thing is we started our first one small, so I can learn off the small amount.
All right, so the last item here before we adjourned is just for everybody's to recall, we were having problems scheduling these meetings ad hoc every 3 months. So we said, okay, we're going to set it the third Monday of every 3 months quarter on a standard schedule, which has allowed us to make these meetings more routine. So what we want to do is we want to talk about these meetings for 2019.
So how does everybody feel about switching this to a Thursday every quarter? Basically, first, second, and third quarter of every quarter seems to be available, except for December or November, which would be the second and third quarter only, or second and third.
What
Thursday
day
of
on
the month?
Second or
Thursday.
Third? And are you saying second or third?
Second or third Thursday of the month.
Second is good.
Second.
Sometimes.
So one reason for wanting to move from Monday to Thursday is you saw other people in this room here, and HR has this room locked up for new employee orientations, and we're having mm-hmm. some difficulty trying to secure a Bridgeport access site for our meetings and have them available that meet the Brown Act. And so we thought by moving to Thursday, maybe if we can't boot them out, then maybe we just move our meeting
move
to
our
another
meetings,
day.
Yeah.
To resolve the conflict.
They
so
keep coming in and looking.
That's the reason that you see that there's nobody in there. But
yeah.
But
so
we
sometimes
advertise
there
both
is.
Locations. So
it's not all the time, but sometimes there is. Molly will come in there and John.
Yeah.
He's
John
been in there a
couple
times.
Yeah.
So.
So do you think second Thursday of each quarter would be okay
I think
with everybody?
Yeah, that would be,
okay.
That'd be acceptable.
Okay, so we'll do that. And we'll Janelle send out a meeting request for those dates.
I love that. Thank you.
And I apologize that if I try to send it to somebody, it cancels it for some reason. And I'm like, what the heck?
Okay.
So that's why I'm like, I'm just sending out an email the next, when I was trying to
send
it to you, it canceled it. And I'm like, what the heck?
So it's the middle month of every quarter.
The middle Thursday, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so the second Thursday of the month, that's the middle of the quarter.
Wow.
Well, so it's okay.
That's too much for my brain.
February,
right?
May,
middle month.
February,
May,
August,
month.
And November.
number first, right.
Okay. I like the trend.
I was trying to establish a rule here. I am an accountant.
See, yeah. When we had our first daughter, first thing out of my husband's mouth was, we're all multiples of nine in January. Because we were 9, 18, 27.
That means you have a transposed number.
That was,
yeah. You know, we're both math people when that's the first thing you think of when your kid comes out.
The baby girl is here and we're doing math, right? I love it.
Yeah, my daughter almost was a math major. And I talked to her in disdain and zoology and shit. Become a math major. Can't get a job in zoology. Oh, yeah, and so if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.